Part 5. Treasure. There comes a time in every rightly constructed boy's life when he has a raging desire to go somewhere and dig for hidden treasure. Mark Twain. C-12. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Dan had long feared that it was only a matter of time before others, powerful others, began searching for relationships between recent events which could no longer be dismissed as ordinary. But even though his group alone had the advantage of knowing that a certain spot in Lolo National Forest was a crucial piece of the puzzle, this made it no more palatable for Dan to learn that GSC Chairman William Godfrey was now asking questions about extraterrestrial involvement and looking for answers in the right kinds of places. Alessandro has informed us that GSC staff are working on the basis of the Peregrine Point being near the northern shore of Huntington Lake, Timo announced as soon as he and Dan entered the basement. He didn't mention the part about Godfrey's recent alien-related inquiries, leaving it for Dan to decide whether this was something that Tara and Clark would benefit from knowing right now. Emma buzzed the basement's exterior intercom just moments later, returning far sooner than expected and reporting that Rooster had settled in her house immediately. "He obviously remembers the place from his visit last year," she said. "It's like he never left." With everyone reunited, Dan decided that they should all know everything. He wasted no time in bringing Emma up to speed on the Peregrine and then revealed what Timo had just told him about Godfrey. Despite Emma voicing a thought similar to Dan's about Lolo being a crucial detail that no one else knew anything about, Tara and Clark were visibly unsettled by the news that Godfrey was closing in on the truth about the recent incidents. Dan, meanwhile, closed the computer folder containing Trey's Lolo footage for now and got straight to the urgent work of seeking more precise measurements than his printed maps and hand-drawn triangles would allow. Other than Clark, who was recuperating on the bed, everyone gathered round as Dan opened a mapping program and selected a menu option to place a transparent equilateral triangle over a map of the western United States. Trusting the program to account for the curvature of the Earth in a way that his earlier and cruder approximations had not, he then moved one of the triangle's 3 points to his particular spot at Lolo and went from there, slowly rotating and resizing the overlaid shape until its second point fell on the northern shore of California's Huntington Lake. "Here we go," he said as he zoomed out from there and then zoomed in on the third point to see where exactly in Colorado it fell. Rather than falling to the northwest, as it had when he was working with the social media heat spot, using the Peregrine Point gleaned from a source at the GSC caused Dan's third point to fall only 75 miles west of his Birchwood home, in the immediate vicinity of a small town called Salida. He turned away from the screen, looking primarily at Emma. "We need to find a precise location that makes sense. A store, a street name, an interesting resident, something like that. Either in or near Salida. The exact point I'm getting is just to the northwest of Salida. But we're talking a mile, mile and a half at most, so I definitely think Salida should be our starting point. Right now, so soon after the fireball passed through, we definitely can't assume that the perigee we have is accurate to that kind of level. Each side of this triangle is over 700 miles long. 1 mile here or there is absolutely nothing." "But what's in the exact spot of the triangle's third point?" she asked, understanding Dan's point, but simultaneously thinking that it was worth being as precise as possible with the data they had. "Anything with a name?" Dan looked again and zoomed in even further. There's a tiny little place. There we go. Smeltertown." From nowhere, Tara barged into Dan's shoulder and knocked him away from the computer's keyboard and touchpad. "Smeltertown?" she echoed with a level of excitement no one could understand in the slightest. "Smeltertown, Colorado? No way. Let me see."
Anything you want to share with the rest of us?"
Emma asked, at least as confused as Dan.
"American treasure,"
Tara said, like this made any more sense. She had by now opened a web browser and started typing something into the address bar.
"I don't know what little town the guys were in, but one of them was looking at a map while the other drove, and he mentioned that there was a place called Smeltertown nearby. They were laughing at the name, and then later in the show, whenever they made a deal, one of the guys kept making jokes like, We smelt it, we dealt it, and stuff like that.
Timo was the first to react. American Treasure? Isn't that the new show from the same Australian guys who came forward to confirm that Hans Kloster sent them a letter warning against exploring Lake Toplitz back when they were doing Treasure Trawl Titans? I must say, that is some kind of coincidence.
Coincidence, my pretty little ass,
Tara said. She pointed to two images from the episode in question, which were placed among a synopsis on the show's official website.
This is deliberate. In fact, Dan, that was the very episode I was watching when you and Clark came over to try to calm me down about seeing Walker. It was literally paused on Emma's projector while you were sitting on the couch. There was a tiny little antique store somewhere nearby, but the family who owned it had outbuildings full of junk they said they hadn't even looked at since the old collector guy died. I'm telling you, the plaque is going to be sitting right there in one of those buildings.
Right under our noses, Timo said, grinning from ear to ear. An American Treasure is a pretty new show, like you said, Dan added. That episode can't have been filmed all that long ago, so the people will still be there. It's so perfect. It's in Colorado, and the idea of it being in a hoarder's outbuilding fits like a glove with the storage locker theme from Salzburg. And that's without even thinking about how weird it is that Tara recognized the name Smeltertown straight away because she watched this specific episode so recently. Don't you think?
Dan's final words were addressed solely to Emma, who was yet to give anything away in regards to what she made of Tara's eureka moment.
I'm not saying this isn't it, she began, flicking her eyes between Tara and Dan. But are you actually telling me that you think the messengers were controlling which episode of some Australian reality show was going to be repeated on American TV that night? It wasn't airing that night, Tara said. I downloaded it the night before. I searched for episodes where the guys visited Colorado, and that was the top result, probably because they were here for the whole hour instead of just one segment.
Emma didn't relent.
So are we saying that the aliens told you to download it? Don't be mad at me just because for once you're not the one who worked it out, Tara replied, losing patience. This is it, and you know it as well as I do. You should be saying thanks, and I should be saying you're welcome.
We're wasting time, Timo said. Emma was smiling slightly at Tara's latest comment. This was no serious sisterly argument, but Timo was firm and correct in his assessment. What we all know, as well as each other, is that this place ticks all of the logical boxes. It falls perfectly on the point of Dan's triangle, and something that Tara saw just a few days ago could well be leading us to the exact family we need to talk to.
I still have the episode downloaded, Tara added. Do you want to check it out?
Definitely, Dan said. But let's quickly check out this footage Trey shot at Lolo. It's all finished copying over. Everyone crowded round the computer again, except for Clark, who only shifted on the bed to make sure he could see. Quite understandably, the sight of a bona fide alien craft in glorious high definition elicited awestruck responses from Tara and Timo, while Clark's greater distance from the screen prevented the details from reaching him so clearly. It equally understandably did less to excite Emma and Dan, given that they had encountered the messenger's larger craft up close and in person, but it was nevertheless an incredible thing to see. Minutes later, Dan asked whether Clark was coming next door to check out the plaque's potential resting place in Salida. Right now, this was the footage Dan really wanted to see, or if he didn't feel up to it. Clark groaned like an injured bull as he rolled over. I'm coming.
You should probably see a doctor in the morning, Tara said.
No way, Clark replied. There might be some weird trace of the force field or something. I've been beat up worse than this and been back on my feet the next day. And I already had tomorrow booked off work, so at least there's that.
Timo made his way up the stairs first. It made sense for him to lead the way to pose a distraction in case Henry was there, since Henry seeing Clark's injuries would lead to a conversation best avoided. Dan extended an arm in an offer to help Clark up from the bed, and he wasn't too proud to accept it.
After you, Sherlock, Emma said to Tara, holding her hand out towards the stairs.
Tara stood still and shrugged.
You know I'm more of an Inspector Clouseau kind of girl.
Ah, Emma sighed.
Fine. After you, Clouseau. That's better, Tara said as she began climbing the stairs. You can be Miss Marple. She's only a few years older than you, isn't she? If that's the way you want to play it, Emma laughed. I hope you packed your bathing suit, though, because if I see any smelters in Smeltertown, you're going for a swim.
As the sisters disappeared out of the basement, taking their playful bickering with them, Dan McCarthy slowly helped his injured brother up each step.
Thanks for doing what you did, he said. Trying to run into Walker's room before you could even see what was going on in there? Not many people would have done that.
Whatever it takes, and no half measures, Clark replied. That's what you said, and I know you would have done the same. I saw you crossing that threshold at Lolo. I remember.
Dan didn't say anything until they reached the top step, when he turned to look directly at Clark.
We're this close, he told him, holding his thumb and index finger an inch apart. This hasn't been fun, but it's all going to be worth it. I promise. The messengers have led me this far, and they're going to take us the whole way. I believe in them.
And I believe in you, man, Clark said, bravely limping towards the front door. I believe in you.